God's word is a fire in my bones, and I cannot keep it in. We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening, friends. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Be digging into, does it really take a village to raise a child tonight? And this is Do Not Keep Silent. Yeah, don't be a pushover. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. We're talking about taking a village to raise a child tonight, and also about the importance of our foundational beliefs based in the Bible. And if you are having your beliefs in something else, well, it just won't stick. Again, my name is Jason Azurek, your host for the program. Again, find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Also, I'd like to, well, point you to a series that's going on right now. It's every Friday. It's released. Being a Christian is the title of the, well, the whole series. Schizophrenic Christianity is what I'd like to point out to you specifically. Again, it's the seventh little bit in this series, Being a Christian, written by our blogger, Charlie Wolcott. Also, don't forget, Katie Erickson is in the middle of a series as well on the book of Hebrews. Been in the faith chapter for just a little bit here. And she releases her blog post every Monday morning. Again, you can find that at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Again, find us at donotkeepsilent.com as well for the radio program. Again, many years ago, friends, so many years ago, we heard this phrase, the fundamental transformation of the United States of America. And I think it's pretty obvious that now, if we are honest with ourselves, we're seeing what that really means. I'll dig into that a little bit more later. But again, there's another phrase that I think many of us have heard over the years. It takes a village to raise a child. Most listening to this, even many Christians I know, you might be one of them, think this is a really great phrase. Well, I want to really help you to challenge your thinking on that, for I used to be just like you, thinking, well, this is a good phrase. It's a good idea. Friends, I would tend to disagree. Here's why. I was discipled and mentored by a pastor, well, for over a year, and he challenged me in my thinking. He was so frustrated with me. He was like, ah! And I'm like, what? He's like, do you know where that phrase came from? And I said, from Hillary Clinton, of course. Personally, the first time I actually heard this phrase was in the 1990s. It was when Hillary Clinton was, well, the wife of the president then, Bill Clinton. Oh, my discipler and mentor, he went on to tell me about how his daughter, who I had met later in life, she was actually living in Arizona when I met her on a mission trip down in Yuma, Arizona. But before that, she had been a missionary in Africa. She had shared with her father how this African proverb of it takes a village to raise a child, how it was put into action in Africa. She had told him that this phrase actually came from, well, it came from all these men having sex with women of the village, and these women then getting pregnant. And so no one knew who the fathers were to these children. That literally is where it came from and why it came. So really no institution of marriage going on with one man, one woman making a vow for life of what God instituted. Friends, that is what God instituted. That is the foundational belief Christians should have. It's found in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve are the first marriage. That is what God instituted, not one man with many women or many women with one man. It is one man and one woman. Friends, these people were choosing in Africa not to marry. They were having sex with each other with no lifelong commitment. So, again, when a child was born, as already stated, no one knew who the father of these children really were, because they had multiple partners regarding sex. So really what was going on, and men right now tuning in, really encourage you to hear what I have to say. The men were relinquishing their God-given responsibility to raise and care for their own child. And friends, this is why this African proverb exists. It takes a village to raise a child. And that is where it came from. So when you're taking this proverb and trying to shoehorn it into the Bible and having saying, well, we're going to redeem this phrase. Well, I hear what you're saying, and I know you mean well. In fact, I know many Christians who say, well, see, we send our children to these schools and it takes a village to raise a child. We need all these teachers and all that. I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. I didn't say that. But what we're doing is we're taking our parental responsibility and then shuffling it off to someone else that is not responsible for our own children, and then making and claiming that they are the ones who need to educate our children. Now, I didn't do that. I'm saying that's what we've done in society. So it takes a village to raise a child. No. Parents, you're still ultimately responsible for your children, what they've learned, and what, well, their relationship with Jesus Christ really looks like. Ultimately, you'll be the one standing in front of Almighty God, not me, not that teacher. So don't just try pawning that off. Now, with that said, this phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. We need to, again, remember where this African proverb came from, why it exists. It's a huge issue with this phrase, friends. It goes directly against the word of God and the institution of marriage between one man and one woman that Almighty God set up into place. So when we hear a fundamental transformation of the United States of America, that is what that phrase is talking about, is getting rid of the Christian foundation. And sadly, many today say that's the white man's religion. No, it is not. Almighty God, friends, Almighty God is the one responsible for life. Almighty God is the one responsible for us, well, to either choose his way or not. He's given us natural law so we can make good and right decisions. He's instituted so much from the very beginning, and it seems many of us have just forgotten this. What do I mean? Not just marriage did God institute. Something else he instituted is that men, I should say humans, are human. We're made in the image of God. We are not animals, as so many people today seem to think we are. We are above the animals. We are to, well, steward creation. Friends, God is the owner of it all. He's the one that instituted this. Not me, not you. Another thing he instituted is this man and this woman, this husband and wife, are to take care of their children. He instituted that. He also instituted that we wear clothing. Now, before we sinned, we didn't have to worry about that. But God, in his infinite love, made the way for us so we could have clothing. He is the one that instituted that and why it is so important. God did that. You can also read in Genesis 9 that it is okay, drum roll please, in Genesis 9, God instituted that it is okay to eat meat. I didn't do that. Again, you didn't do that. From the very beginning, God wanted us to eat, yes, fruits and vegetables and that kind of stuff. Leafy greens. But after the flood, he gave us the permission to eat meat. You can go read it for yourself in Genesis 9. Friends, getting back to what we're talking about as far as the institution that God has instituted regarding marriage. As time moves on and generation after generation continues, I think it's time to face the facts that we now see the very fruit of this phrase and its abhorrent mindset of it takes a village to raise a child. Not only are we seeing children being raised without fathers, but women are without a husband to help them raise these children. And women, I'm not picking on you. Men, it's up for us to start being responsible. Husbands, we need to be there to help raise our children and, lo and behold, to be there for our grandchildren. When we're not, it is a vicious cycle that tends to be repeated over and over and over again, and it's just rampant. Now, I'm sure there are certainly people out here that are listening to this very upset with me, and more than likely saying, well, I'm a teacher. I can help teach someone else's child, can't I? Or maybe someone is saying out loud right now to the radio, that speaker right in front of me, I don't have children, so are you saying it's bad to help someone with their child? Or that I can't help someone with their child? Well, here comes my famous phrase, don't hear what I'm not saying. I didn't say that at all. In fact, ultimately, I'm saying the God-given responsibility to raise children has been given to the parents of these children. God Almighty is the one that instituted this. Not me. Again, not you. Again, you can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. I'll continue on in just a bit. Find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org as well. And this is Do Not Keep Silent.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dezurek.
As I get started today, I'd like to direct you to a blog post titled John 6:66, The Church in Freefall, written by Chad Kuhn. You see, John 6:66 is one of the most heartbreaking verses in all of the Bible. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then we see in John 6:67 that Jesus says, do you also want to go away? Friends, the separation seems to be occurring in the church today. Many Christians are adopting unbiblical beliefs in the name of being woke, inclusive, relevant, and even loving. And we must realize that we don't get to reinvent Jesus. We only receive him as he is, as clearly seen within the Bible. Friends, he cannot be separated from his word. To dig more into this idea, please go find Chad Coon's blog post titled John 6:66, The Church in Free Fall.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Again, I appreciate you being with me here. I encourage you to go find a resource there at worldviewwarriors.org titled How Being Consistent Changed Everything. Personal journey from security to living a life of liberty. And friends, after I, left my youth ministry job in 2007, didn't know where the Lord was going to take me or my wife or my family, we began a journey of spiritual growth and insight that honestly we never expected or even experienced before this. Friends, it was and still is a great struggle to follow God. The tough, narrow path is just that. Tough, you know, the one that Jesus speaks of in the Sermon on the Mount. Well, friends, if you're looking for some joy in your life, in all circumstances, then, friends, this resource is for you. It's available in paperback. If you're struggling with living God's ways and wanting to be part of the crowd, well, then I encourage you to take a look at this. Again, How Being Consistent Changed Everything, a personal journey from security to living a life of liberty. And friends, if you're struggling financially as well, maybe you're asking God, why am I in this position right now? Why are you not supplying my needs as I think I should be? Well, I'd encourage you, go to worldviewwarriors.org, find this resource. Again, it's a personal journey from security to living a life of liberty, how being consistent changed everything. Find it at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. And friends, as we continue, unless you've been living under a rock, or maybe you've just been ignoring reality for a few years, friends, it's as plain as the nose on your face. We can see the dangerous fruit of the mindset that I have been sharing about tonight regarding it takes a village to raise a child. And this mindset is taking over our nation. It is an unbiblical mindset. I'm not just talking about casual sex, but in how rearing and teaching children our society is moving toward. Getting away from the biblical principle and God-ordained institution of one man and one woman marriage, friends, it certainly hasn't done our society any favors whatsoever. Mothers, fathers, quite literally, you are extremely important. God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit and allow you to love your children, love your grandchildren. The way forward is back, friends. If we want to move forward in society, we need to get back to biblical principles in this nation. You know, I do encourage you to study. Take some time to study. Read Ephesians 6, 1 through 9. Really understand it. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Friends, did you hear that? Fathers, you are to do this. To train your children up in the ways of the Lord. I encourage you to do this, fathers. And let's just take a look, quick look here at Colossians 3. Colossians 3. I'll start in, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, here we go. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then it goes on to say this. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. I know I just probably lost half of the wives there. But wives, hang with me, please, okay? Don't just turn off the radio. Don't do that. But then it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. As we wrap up tonight, I just want to talk about that word submit real quickly. Not just for you wives, but for you husbands. It says again, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. So many times, I think we seem to insert the word, wives, obey your husbands. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, please hear me. Just because you are married to this woman that said yes, that doesn't mean she's going to do every single thing you're telling her to do. Do not, as it says in scripture here, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Look, straight up. Husbands, men, I know, I get it. We want to fix stuff. God made us that way. Our wives tell us something, and yeah, sometimes they want it fixed, whatever it is. Other times, they just want to talk. We got to be okay with that. And lo and behold, we get to listen for a time. And then I'd encourage you, keep your mouth shut and just let her say what she needs to say. As it says in Scripture, do not be harsh with her. Got to be honest with you, friends. I'm still working on this one myself. You can ask my wife. Again, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Now, that does not mean you're going to do everything your husband says. But you need to recognize that God is the one that instituted, again, going back to what God instituted this of God, husband, wife, children. God did that. Human beings did not do that. And again, wives, don't turn the radio off. The word of God isn't saying, do everything your husband said you should do. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying, recognize what God has instituted. Not just honoring your husband, but honoring Almighty God. And husbands, again, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Don't worry, children. I haven't forgotten you either. Neither is the word of God. Children, obey your parents. Oh, there's that word, obey. Obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And we see in Exodus 20, that's the Ten Commandments, by the way, that children are to obey and honor their parents. So those of you who have moved out of the house, you know, you're out from under the roof of your parents and in your own place now, you're doing your own thing. Okay, now you don't necessarily have to completely obey your parents anymore, but you do need to honor them. Or God at least, well, I would say highly encourages it. Again, it's a commandment. Honor your father and mother. Friends, please the Lord. Please your parents. And mom and dad, I just want to say one last thing before we get out of here. And this is to you. says, fathers, you know, mothers too, you're there. Don't embitter your children or they'll become discouraged. Speak life into your children. Show them love through your actions and your words. Don't make your children upset because, well, you were hurt. Don't hurt them. God has given you this wonderful gift called a child. They're his children. Love them. Again, friends, you can read this for yourselves in Colossians 3, starting in verse 15 for you there. Again, I do encourage you to dig into that just a bit. Again, does it really take a village to raise a child? Well, I hope you've at least tuned into this, heard what's been said. Take it to God in prayer. Friends, we don't have to sit here and fight. I do encourage you to, again, take what you've heard tonight and take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask God what he really thinks. This is Do Not Keep Silent. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. You can also find our resources in paperback and Kindle, our blog posts, our free resource of a podcast, and many other great things there as well. Don't be a pushover, and I'll see you next time.
Do not be your own.
Be made new in Jesus Christ. Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.